Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively post your opinion on the Red Cafe forums.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 of the RedCafe.net podcast. I'm Stephen Darwin, as always, and I'm joined by Daniel Lomax and Dob Schiavone. How are we today, guys?
Not too bad, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. I scored a hat-trick yesterday, actually. I thought I'd bring that up on the show.
You bring that up in the first 5 minutes.
I had to slip that one in there. Well, and yeah. Dov, how are we today?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Just taking it easy, chilling out, you know. That's pretty much been doing nothing all week, which is great. No hat-tricks for me.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's start, shall we, by giving you a sort of brief preview of what's coming up in the show today. Obviously, we'll be looking back over the 2-1 victory over Arsenal on Saturday. We'll be taking all your feedback from the emails and from Facebook as well. We'll have our regular features of the week, the Club Cabbage Player of the Week and Reserves Review. Plus, we've got a brand new Loan Watch feature, so stay tuned for all that, plus much, much more. If you want to email the show, you can get hold of us at podcast@redcafe.net. And make sure you follow the podcast and the Red Cafe site itself on Facebook and Twitter. Right, guys, let's start by looking at Saturday's victory over Arsenal. I mean, what did we make of that? Obviously, it's great to have got the 3 points against what can be deemed as a top four side. But I wasn't convinced by the performance, and I think there's still some question marks over sort of our title credentials.
Yeah, well, I thought that we started off very slowly. And Giggs in particular, first half, Ryan Giggs was non-existent really, apart from when he gave the ball away. But to be fair to him, I mean, he set up both goals, didn't he? So,
I thought it was absolutely terrible.
I agree.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, he was poor. I mean, he wasn't even getting about the park that much either.
I think I counted him. It must have been after about 50 minutes or something like that. 13 passes he tried to make, and every single one he gave the ball away.
Yeah, he just had a bad game, didn't he? There was a few times when he was running and we were like 3-on-2, and he chose the wrong option both times. And it's not like Giggs that. Normally, I think one of them was to slip Rooney in, and he went the other way. But
would you say that the fact that he had a hand in both goals, does that sort of make up for what it was? It was a pretty poor performance from him. Does that sort of make up for that, or do you just look at it as an overall performance and say that, well, he's not good enough to start in that midfield?
I don't think he should have started in that particular game, but like you say, I mean, like, you know, he's had a hand in both the goals. I mean, the ball through to Rooney for the penalty, that's a good ball, it's a great ball, really. Obviously, the free kick, you'd expect him to put it in that sort of area anyway. You'd expect any player on the United team to do that, so I wouldn't exactly praise him for that sort of delivery, but no, I just thought that he looked a bit under the weather, didn't he? Didn't really know. His decision-making was poor. His passing was even worse. But at least he kept on trying the passes as well, which was good to see. But apart from that, I thought he had a bit of a shredder. And if it wasn't for Fletcher mopping up in and around him, I think we'd have been in serious trouble.
Yeah, he was playing a percentage game, but yeah, you mentioned Fletcher. Like, I hear Steve in the background ready. Go on, Steve. Give me it, please.
Yeah, well, after your sort of slating of Darren Fletcher last week, Dom, well, I wouldn't go as far as saying you slated him, but you're obviously saying you didn't think he was sort of that world-class player that should be playing for Manchester United. But I think he did prove to you, didn't he, that he is exactly the sort of hunger and committed player that that we need in that midfield.
He had a good game. I'll give him that. He had a very, very good game. I was just sort of watching the game. I was just thinking, Darren Fletcher has been absolutely everywhere. He's been fantastic, and probably our best player on the day. And I was just thinking, wasn't about 3 days ago I was sitting saying how, well, he's not a world class, etc., etc., etc. I still don't think he is. I don't think one game doesn't change my opinion. But he did have an amazing game. Broke up the play. He was everywhere, and I can't fault his performance. I really, really can't.
I can. He got lucky on the Arshavin thing in the penalty area. I thought that was a blatant penalty if ever I've seen one.
Right, okay. But he played the whistle, though. He got away.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know how the referee couldn't really see that. He went in. He was virtually two-footed as well. But well, they didn't get it, but they scored straight after, so it didn't really matter. But yeah, and on that point, it's about who was closing down Arshavin. I don't get it. Like, we're playing five men in midfield, you know, three central midfielders, and not one of them closed them down. And
well, I was looking at Michael Carrick there. I was like Michael Carrick wasn't in the shot on the camera at all. I thought he was pretty poor as well.
I think the Fletcher challenge for what, well, it should have been a penalty, shouldn't it? I think it was more sort of determination to and will to win the ball back rather than any malice. And Fletcher needs to be careful with that, because that could have quite easily been given, and say it had been the Emirates and crowd pressure on him, on the referee, that may well have been given. So Fletcher just needs to be a little bit careful. But what about the other penalty decision? There's been a bit of sort of controversy over whether Rooney dived for that. Dov, what's your views on that? I mean, you can sort of say he was on his way down, but at the end of the day, Almunia, his hands were down. He made contact with Rooney, so penalty given.
Yeah, well, not. I think it was a penalty. Everybody's like comparing it to the Eduardo penalty, whereas like Artur Boric didn't have his hands out. Eduardo fell down, blatant dive, as FIFA have ruled. But I think the way Wayne Rooney is, that he's sort of seen that Almunia's coming. Almunia's got his hands out. The contact is going to happen, so he's sort of anticipated that a little bit and went down. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think players do that everywhere. Do you want him to stand up and get absolutely clattered, so it's a complete no argument stonewall penalty? It just depends what you want. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. And it was a penalty.
So guys, we've had a bit of debate there about sort of Ryan Giggs a bit earlier on, how we felt he maybe shouldn't have been starting. So why was he starting? I mean, why change a winning formula? We've gone from a 4-4-2 formation that produced, what, a 5-0 victory over Wigan the previous weekend. And then Fergie goes to drop Berbatov, put five in midfield, and, well, we're at home, aren't we? We're against a team that are in the top four. We want to be sort of stamping our authority on the game, so I can't see why there was all of a sudden change.
We tried to play it safe. I think if you go at Arsenal, they've got a great counter-attacking sort of approach, haven't they? And I think if you go two up front against Arsenal, you can leave yourself a bit exposed, but I'd do it. I'd go 4-4-2. You're at home, like you say, Steve, and you want to get a win. And although the result did come to us in the end, was very fortunate, though, you know, I think it was a bit negative, really, and it gave Arsenal the chance then to come at us a bit, I think.
I can't see why Berbatov wasn't starting, though. I mean, we splashed, what, £30-odd million pounds on a striker that we're expecting to have a massive season for us this season, yet we leave him out in one of the biggest games of the season.
Not only that as well, I mean, he played well against Wigan. He played really well against Wigan. And you'd expect to keep your place there.
I'll tell you something.
I was a bit baffled by that, to be fair.
Yeah, I've never wanted Berbatov to come off the bench so much in my life. I couldn't believe it took him. I was 80 minutes or something, he brought him on. I believe it took him that long to get him on the park. I was quite baffled by the team selection on Saturday.
And it can't do his confidence any good either, really. You know, he's had a great game against Wigan and then gets dropped for one of the biggest games of the season, arguably. And it showed when he came on, really. I mean, that chance that he had where he put it over the bar. I mean, I could have done that.
That was absolutely fantastic. He ran the full length of the park.
I know,
great.
Yeah.
I was like look at Berbatov, he's running. This is great.
Apart from that, though, he did all right. Apart from that, but I mean, you'd expect him to have a shot on target there, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would. Especially a £30 million shot on target, at least.
That's not his fault, though, Dov, is it?
He was too tired. He'd just run the most he'd run like in a season in the space of like 5 minutes. He couldn't do it.
And what about Ben Foster, guys? Between the sticks, I know he makes the odd mistake. I'm talking in general, his performances in general. He is prone to the odd error, but you've got to sort of recognise the key saves that he does make as well. Obviously, I'm referring to Saturday and the Van Persie shot that he saved well with his feet. If Arsenal had scored there, what, that would have been 2-0 Arsenal, and the game could have been dead and buried at that point.
What do you think about the Arshavin goal? Do you think he should get there?
I thought he should have got there, to be honest.
I don't think he moved his feet quick enough. Really slow. Because he must have known the shot was coming.
So I thought he was really slow and reacting to move across.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He didn't sort his feet out quick enough.
And
yeah, but the thing is, you can pick holes at goalkeepers, at any goalkeeper, for not keeping out, for not obviously not saving shots. But at the end of the day, we've picked up a victory, and he's made a key save in the game as well. So
he definitely saved us the game when he made the save from Van Persie, like you say.
But he looked really, really flappy, and he's so uncertain when it comes for crosses. I personally don't have much confidence in him, to be fair. I think there's just too many mistakes creeping into his game.
I think he'll eradicate them, though, out of his game, I think. You know, the more games he plays, the more confident he's going to get. And once we get the settled back four in, I think he'll be a decent keeper. I don't see any reason why he'll fail at United.
And what of Arsene Wenger's comments, guys, claiming we were playing anti-football. Now, I think what he's referring to there is sort of Darren Fletcher and how the Arshavin penalty decision wasn't given. But that's way off the mark, isn't it? And I guess it's just a case of sort of sour grapes and the fact that he was made a bit of a laughing stock at the end of the game as well, which was fantastic to watch.
I quite enjoyed that. I thought he'd handled that really well. He could have stopped off, couldn't he? But I actually had a bit of a chuckle at that. I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, that's quite an iconic image.
It was a bit harsh as well. He only kicked a water bottle. He didn't even kick it at anyone. He just, you know, was a bit petulant, just kicked it away.
it was one of the best sort of ends to a game. Like that last sort of like 5-10 minutes was just
brilliant. You're going to be frustrated if they score a goal in the last minute. What was it, 95th minute of injury time, and it's really put out for us, I'd be a bit annoyed. Let him kick a water bottle. It's not going to do anyone any harm. It's not like he booted into the crowd.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Time to look at the emails now then. Well, I can't say we've got loads to sift through, but the few that we have got, Dov, you've had a little look at them, and you're going to pick out some of the main points.
Yeah, well, we've got an email from Safin Benzaire. I think he's a Facebook regular as well. And he basically is aimed this message towards me, so I thought it only be right that I read it out. So here it goes. So I'll just skim read it. He says he doesn't agree with what I said on Fletcher. He says he has been without a doubt a terrific player over the past two seasons, and he gets better and better. And he says when he sees him in a start lineup, a weight goes off his shoulders, and he believes he's our best player to break up the other team's movements and passes, which was quite evident on Saturday. But it goes on and says he doesn't disagree. He didn't disagree with everything, and he says he agrees with it on Nani, and for Safin, he says he's got everything there in his locker to be better than Ronaldo. His crossing, free kicks have got better, and he takes players on a lot more. He said last year he agreed a lot more with Steven Dan, but he's coming more over to the Dov way of thinking, which is good to know. And he also comments on our midfield as well, said he's a bit worried about the centre midfield. He said Fletcher, obviously a definite starter, but he says with aging Scholes, Anderson, is he happy, is he not happy, Carrick's not performing at the moment as well, and plus the injured Owen Hargreaves, he's a bit worried about the depth and quality we've got in there. And yeah, and he also goes on to thank us for our terrific podcast. So, well, thank you, Safin Benzaire, for emailing in.
Well, we've also received an email from Eddie Dulat. He's asked a question of why we haven't seen much of the De Silvers playing recently. He's asked whether they're injured at the moment, and I believe that's the case. I know that Raphael is sort of still struggling with an injury, and although Fabio had started the first couple of games for us, I believe he's picked up a slight knock as well. So I think that's the case with the De Silva twins. So I hope that sort of answers your question, Eddie, and I hope I've got that assumption correct. But another email from Sean Fields. He's just basically emailed in and said that he was delighted with the performance of Darren Fletcher, especially against Arsenal. He also thought Valencia had a good first half, but then went totally out of it in the second. He thought it was the other way round, as we mentioned, with Ryan Giggs, that he was not really up to it in the first half. But second half, he produced the goods, really, with the pass for the Rooney penalty, and also for the cross that Diaby put into his own net. So, well, thanks a lot for the email, Sean. And if anyone else wants to get in touch with the show with their sort of views or opinions on anything we mention on the show, or just on anything in general to do with Manchester United, then do email us, podcast@redcafe.net. Moving on to the Red Cafe forum review topic of the week now. we're having a look at how good is Darren Fletcher, that particular topic. Obviously, with Dov making his feelings known about Fletcher last week, there's been quite a few people agreeing and disagreeing with what Dov had to say. And Dov, you're going to go through that thread and pick out some of the comments.
Yeah, well, it's been mostly people disagreeing, shall we say. There's not very many people on my side, so anybody that is on my side, please come out of the woodwork, please. I need support. But the first comment we've got here is from Amol Bahakia 100. Crazy name, but hey, what the hell? He says, I know today's excellent result was more down to our attacking players clicking and delivering in the final third, but Fletcher is impressing me more and more almost every game.
Well, Pogue Mahone has come in and said that Fletcher is clearly pushed on from last season and has become a top-class central midfielder in his own right, and yeah, I completely agree with that.
Thing is, though, lads, I mean, he's first choice now, and many people on the forum, a lot of people are Fletcher. And I totally agree. I mean, Dob, I know you last week, like we said, you know, you were a bit unfair on him, but I think that there's no other player at this present time who's playing better than Darren Fletcher at Man United, and especially in midfield. I mean, Giggs had a poor game. Scholes had a decent game against Wigan, but I wouldn't put him in there ahead of Fletcher at the moment. Carrick's been poor. Anderson's not had a look in, really. And I just feel as though this is it now. This is him. And I think you know, we can move forward with Fletcher in our team. Like you say, he's not the most creative, but he does everything else well. So,
there's another comment.
A lot of fans agree. I mean, compared to like what 4 or 5 years ago, Darren Fletcher, in most United fans' opinion, he's shot up, hasn't he? And he's finally fulfilled that potential that everyone thought he had and that Fergie backed him to have.
Well, there's another couple of people. Who have sort of taken your view as well, Dan. Great Hat, he said that Fletcher's superb, he's a strong tackler, an imposing presence, a harrier of the opposition with a lot of stamina, possesses a distribution which, in brackets, whilst not perfect, unbracket the brackets, has improved greatly in recent seasons. And he says, in my honest opinion, he's a goal threat in the area too, and he often quite gets a poacher-type goal.
I think, lads, it's his awareness, really, is what's improved. He knows what's around him now. When he was younger, he used to just do... He tended to do things that were a bit out of his control, and he lost the ball quite a lot. But, you know, since he's grown up and he's matured, and he's playing with better United players as well, he knows when to pass the ball, when to hold it, when to go past someone. His decision-making is top-notch now. And
the thing that gets me, Dan, right, is that, all right, it has improved, because like three, four years ago, it was horrendous as a football player. And I'm not saying he's bad.
He wasn't horrendous. He just wasn't up to United's standards, was he? He wasn't horrendous. He'd have got in most Premier League teams, wouldn't he?
Yeah, no, is it more? It was bad, right, for United standards, okay? But now I think the fact that he's our best... And he's still not up there. That's the thing. I just don't think he's up there. Like some of the central midfielders, like Keane, Robson, and like Scholes, that we've still got some of the central midfielders we've had. He's nothing compared to them, and that's what worries me. He's not, and I don't think he'll ever be up there unless he keeps going on the sort of exponential rate of development that he has done over the last couple of years, which I don't think he'll do.
RedCafe.net. The leading Manchester United forum.
Okay, well, on to the features of the week now, guys, and we'll start with the Club Cabbage and Player of the Week. Obviously, you've got the Arsenal game to go from, so who would be your Club Cabbage this week? I'll start with you, Dob.
Club Cabbage for me this week is Ryan Giggs, because I thought it was horrendous for pretty much the whole game. All right, he laid on Rooney's penalty and obviously got the corner in, but I just... It was so bad. It was absolutely terrible. I was like calling for him to get taken off after about half an hour. It was that bad. And I don't know how he lasted as long as he did on the park, but it was too long for me. So he's my Club Cabbage.
Dan, agree with that? Ryan Giggs for you?
Yeah, Giggs. Yeah, especially. But I mean, are we allowed managers?
Yeah, why not?
Right, well, Alex Ferguson then. I think his tactics were all wrong, even though, you know, it was a lucky win, to be fair. You know, an own goal and a penalty, it's not exactly breeding confidence. I just think that his tactics were the wrong ones, and his player selections were poor as well. So there you go, Sir Alex. Have that.
Well, I'm going to give it to
if he listens.
Yeah, Carrick for me this week. He was average at best against Arsenal. Didn't see him sort of produce anything that made me sit up and think, oh, Carrick's back to his best again. I don't know what it is this season. Last season, he sort of tailed off towards the end of the season again, and he just hasn't regained any sort of form so far. I'm sure he will improve. I'm sure in time he will, but he's going to have to step up if we're really going to start worrying teams as we did last season. But moving on to Player of the Week, I'd say there are a few candidates for that. So, Dan, I'll start with you on this one. Who's your Player of the Week?
Player of the Week? I'm going to go Ben Foster for the way that he kept Arsenal at bay for that, you know, from the second goal. I thought for that save, we would have been in serious trouble, and I don't think we'd have come back from that. So I think Ben Foster, just on the importance of that one save from Van Persie.
Doc?
I'm going to continue to eat humble pie. I'm halfway through it already, and I say Darren Fletcher was my Player of the Week. I thought he was great all over the park, breaking down the play, harrying the Arsenal midfield. He was by far and away our best player, I thought.
Well, I'm going to give it to our most potent attacking threat against Arsenal, which was Patrice Evra. I thought he looked really good going forward. He looked a genuine threat when he was getting anywhere near the Arsenal box. I know when you put him on his right foot, he's pretty useless, but on that left foot, he really is dangerous. He's got a good delivery on him. And I think he'll get a couple of goals this season. I noticed an article where Evra had admitted that Ferguson has sort of told him that he wants him to be pushed on more this season. And yeah, I mean, on Saturday, I think he epitomised exactly what he's going to be about this season. So Patrice Evra back to his best, I think. So, yeah, Player of the Week for me is Patrice Evra.
Okay.
Reserves review now. Dov, you've got a couple of games to review, haven't you?
That's right, Steve. The reserves review is a proper reserves review this week. I've got two games to tell everybody about. We'll start with a game that occurred last Monday on the 24th of August. United Reserves played Bolton Wanderers Reserves. This was a repeat of the Lancashire Senior Cup of the week before, where we won 1-0. This time, we won 3-1. Goals from Craig Cathcart, Zoran Tosic, and Sam Hewson for us, and Michael O'Halloran scored for Bolton Wanderers. I'll just get a quick run through of the game. For Cathcart's goal in the third minute, headed in a Tosic corner, beat Bolton keeper Robert Linton at the near post. Although 7 minutes later, Michael O'Halloran equalised for Bolton as he raced onto a Sam Sheridan through ball. United pretty much had the better of the game, were better going forward, had a greater impetus up front as well. Josh King and Danny Welbeck played up front, and they were really, really a thorn in the Bolton Wanderers reserve side. The second for United came from Zoran Tosic just before half-time. Josh King got onto a loose ball, sort of ran forward and then ran to the byline and pulled the ball back. Darren Gibson scuffed a shot, and then Tosic, I want to say outfoxed one of the Bolton defenders, and he sort of placed his finish in the roof of the net to make it 2-1 to United. Then, basically, as the second half went on, United just sort of stamped their authority on the game, and towards the end, Sam Hewson scored for us on the 83rd minute to make it 3-1. It was a magnificent, powerful header from a David Gray cross. So it's an impressive performance from the reserves. And then they also played again on the 27th of August in the Manchester Senior Cup. And this was a resounding 5-0 victory over Bury. Sam Hewson got another goal. Makeda got two. Also, a new reserve player got a goal. And that was Cameron Stewart got his first goal for the reserves, and also Scott Moffat rounded off a 5-0 victory. Basically, United dominated this whole game. The United goalkeeper Ron Robert Zieler, a young German, had nothing to do. He could have had a cup of tea, had a, sat, got a deck chair, he could have read the paper and we still wouldn't have conceded. Makeda was quite impressive. He scored a penalty as well, and just had a hand in the third goal. Makeda was brilliant in this one. But I think the level of the opposition was somewhat reduced compared to the Bolton game. But all in all, the reserves look very, very impressive.
Fantastic. Well, a good couple of wins there for the reserves. And, well, we've got a brand new feature for you now. It's called Loan Watch. It's basically exactly what it says on the tin, really. I'll be looking at these sort of four or five players that are currently out on loan at various clubs. We've got Tom Cleverley, who's at Watford. We've got Daniel Drinkwater at Huddersfield Town. Danny Simpson's on loan at Newcastle United. We've got Tom Heaton at QPR. And finally, Rodrigo Possebon, who is out in the Portuguese league with FC Braga. So I'm just every sort of month, we're going to have a little look at how these players have been getting on, giving you a sort of idea of the goals they might have been scoring, the clean sheets they've been making. And yeah, so let's start off this week by starting with Tom Cleverley, obviously at Watford, as I just mentioned. He started four games for Watford so far, three in the Championship and one in the Carling Cup against Leeds. He scored on his debut against Nottingham Forest and then a few days later in his second appearance against Blackpool as well. Watford then lost 2-1 to Leeds in the Carling Cup, with Cleverley playing the full 90 minutes and hitting the post as well during the match. So he's really been involved for Watford so far in their opening few games. And his latest game for them, it was against Swansea. They drew 1-0 and Cleverley picked up an assist for Danny Graham. I believe he swung in a free kick and Graham sort of picked up the pieces and scored from that. So, yeah, he's been heavily involved so far for Watford and he looks like he's going to be sort of one of their mainstays in the starting 11. If we move on to Daniel Drinkwater at Huddersfield Town, he started two games for them so far this season and he's come off the bench twice as well in the league. He's begun really well as well. He's got one goal and assist as well. Both of them came in Huddersfield's 7-1 win against Brighton. He actually came on as a second half sub in that as well. I think he got the last half hour. So to have got a goal and an assist is a pretty good going. And his latest appearance, that was against Newcastle United in the Carling Cup. So obviously a massive game for him to be playing in. And he came up against, of course, Danny Simpson, who's on loan at Newcastle. Drinkwater started the game. Picked up an assist as well. Huddersfield lost 4-3 in the end, but good to see him getting involved and picking up an assist. So well done, Mr. Daniel Drinkwater. If we move on to Danny Simpson now, he's obviously Newcastle United. He's played all four... He's played the full 90 minutes for them in the last four games, which have all been wins as well, so he must be doing all right for them. He looks like he's going to be a key asset, really, in their push for promotion. And from a personal point of view, I think that if they do get promoted, or even if they don't, if Danny Simpson plays the majority of the season, I'm pretty sure they'll try and make that a permanent deal. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there with Danny Simpson. But yeah, he's been heavily involved in the last four games for them. Tom Heaton, QPR, he's been on the bench, unfortunately, in the league anyway, so far this season. Radek Cherny, the former Tottenham goalkeeper, is the sort of preferred number one at QPR at the moment. He did play in the 2-1 Carling Cup win over Accrington Stanley last week, though. So although he didn't keep a clean sheet, I believe he made a few saves. So good for him to have got a bit of football, although it looks like he's going to be sort of a backup for Cherny throughout most of the season. And finally, Rodrigo Possebon. Well, unfortunately, I haven't got a lot to report on Possebon. He hasn't played a game yet for Braga. I think they're three games into the Portuguese league at the moment, and Braga are actually doing pretty well. I think they've won 3 out of 3, so Possebon can't quite force his way into the side at the moment, but I'm sure his time will come. So that was the first loan watch of the season. We'll come back in the next couple of weeks, or maybe the next month, and check up on the guys and see how they're getting on.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, we're coming nearly to the end of the show now, and obviously we usually preview a game, but because it's International Week, of course United won't be playing until September the 12th when we take on Tottenham away from home. That's going to be a really tough game because they've started so well, but we'll have a look at that in next week's show. But what we can look at is the Champions League draw that took place last week in Monaco. Well, it's on paper, it looks a relatively straightforward group, guys. But as we know, you've got to beat what's put in front of you. And I guess, well, looking at the teams, Wolfsburg, CSKA, Moscow and Besiktas, well, it looks like Wolfsburg are obviously going to be the toughest by far in that group. They Bundesliga champions, so I think that'll be the tough game. And also going to Moscow, a trip to Moscow is never going to be easy. And the Turkish side, Besiktas, they're not going to roll over either. So we've got to make sure we get the job done.
I think if we win our home games and get maybe 1 or 2 points on the road, I think we'll be fine. Like you say, Wolfsburg will probably pose the most difficult challenge in terms of, you know, the footballing ability. But I think, like you say, travelling to Moscow, it's a long travelling time as well, and to Turkey as well. So I think we've got quite a tough draw. I mean, I fully expect us to qualify, but at the same time, I think it's tough.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think we need to make sure we get maximum points at home. Wolfsburg, I just like their strike force, like the Dzeko and Grafite, are the most potent strike force in the Bundesliga ever. I think like between them, they got something like 50 or 60 goals last season in the league. So I think that is going to be a massive threat. CSKA Moscow, I don't know really much about them to be fair, but a trip to Moscow is going to be hard. And
CSKA have improved a lot over the last few seasons because they've got a lot of South Americans.
They've got Wagner Love playing for them, haven't they?
Yeah, Wagner Love plays up front for him. He's always going to pose you problems, and he's going to be a threat with his pace.
And Besiktas as well. Besiktas are like leading cup, like the double winners as well. So I think that it's like you say, they're not the hardest teams, but I think they're definitely the three of them are going to pose a challenge, especially in their respective home stadiums. It's not going to be easy, and I think we're going to need to sort of step up our game from the way that we've been playing recently as well.
And well, the draw for the League Cup third round has also taken place, guys. We've been drawn against Wolves at home. Now, that's a favourable fixture, not because they're a newly promoted side, but the fact that it's at home, and obviously our youngsters are going to be given a chance to impress, you would think. The likes of Makeda, Welbeck, Gibson, they're likely to come in and stake a claim, so a game like that is an ideal chance for them to go and express themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be good to see the youngsters getting a run. I always like to see the young guys play. I'm particularly impressed with Makeda. I think he has got all the assets to be a top striker, so it'd be good to see him as well. Yeah, particularly I want to see a lot more of the Da Silva twins as well, so hopefully they could shake off their injuries and so get a place on either slots in the sort of wing backs. And Richie DeLate as well, he looks like he's going to be a decent little signing as well. So I'm just impressed to see how the young guys are doing and if they can step up to Premiership opposition.
Okay, well, that's just about it for episode 4 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Thanks a lot for listening. Make sure that you do get in touch with us either via email, podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively on the Facebook group, or of course on the redcafe.net forum. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, and see you all next week.